Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty. I need a friggin' shower after that, for crying out loud. Headlines on Softy and Dick Without Nick, brought to you by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
You don't know anything. You don't know squat, you stupid idiot.
All right, how about some baseball news? First of all, we'll get to the good and the bad. Start with the bad. James Paxton's out for the year. No surprise there. Hurt his elbow in the White Sox game last week. 24 pitches into his return with the Mariners.
Yay!
And his season is over. He's going to have surgery. He'll have appeared in 6 games, by the way, since the end of the 2019 season. Remember last week we had Booney on the air? We asked him why the Yankees let him go. Now you know why. They let him go. Mariners having a double header in Baltimore today, and you might have to do a double take on this one. The M's technically go to extra innings in 8 against the Orioles and win 4-3 because doubleheaders are now both 7 inning games and not 9. So the M's are 6-4 after a 4-3 win in game number 1. Game number 2 later on tonight, Nick Margevicius against Dean Kremer at 4:15 from Camden Yards. NFL news, the Cardinals are signing former Pittsburgh running back James Conner to a 1-year contract. And what else we got? NBA news, some sad news in Denver. Nuggets star guard Jamal Murray has a torn ACL. He tore it in last night's loss to Golden State, apparently with like 50 seconds left to go in the game. He is now out indefinitely and likely out for the rest of the year. I want to bring up a name here, Huey. The name is Giovanni Bernard. You know who that name is? When I mention the name Giovanni Bernard, does that name ring a bell to you at all? At all. Running back, yeah. Bengal running back, signed a contract, I believe, with the Lions a couple days ago. No, Tampa. Him and Fournette getting together in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady and Gronk and company. So there was a report out that the Seahawks had inquired about Giovanni Bernard's availability. And I remember when the Seahawks signed Chris Carson to that extension a few weeks back, I said, look, I love it. I think it's great. I like Chris Carson when he's healthy. I'm just not convinced he can stay healthy with the Seahawks. And don't come back to me and tell me about how many games the guy plays in, because even when he played a year ago, he clearly was not 100% when he was out there on game day for the Hawks a year ago. So you've gone from a trio of Penny, Carson, and Carlos Hyde to now a trio of Carson, Rashad Penny, and then any combination of DJ Dallas, Travis Homer, Alex Collins, and the like, players like that. So what I said, and I want to know if you agree with this, is that, look, I'm not looking to add another running back to that group. I'm looking to replace one of those running backs with a better option, like a Carlos Hyde-ish type player from a year ago, because I don't trust Chris Carson. I don't trust Rashad Penny. I don't trust DJ Dallas or Travis Homer or Alex Collins. I would love to see a third option brought in like Carlos Hyde from a year ago and give myself more options in case one of those two guys goes down with an injury. And maybe the Hawks felt the same way, that they like the amount of bodies they have on the roster. They just don't like the quality of the depth that they have right now. Is that fair?
Well, I think just because they look into a guy doesn't mean we can't glean from them how much interest they have. It might have been just like a token interest. Maybe they just want to learn the market.
Sure. Or maybe they wanted to sign the guy because of exactly
what I said. That's what I said. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know. I mean, we can't say, okay, they're really interested in upgrading their backup running backs, and then we use that as evidence that they're looking at one guy when we don't know the degree of the interest. Now, I would say that, it makes sense. A year ago, Carlos Hyde was coming off a 1,000-yard season with the Texans. So I look at this list. DJ Dallas coming into his second year, I would want to see more of that because there could be a significant leap there. I am not a believer in Travis Homer at all. He does not look like to me, he's a fringe NFL player. So if you're asking me to envision him being a number two, I don't see it. Alex Collins, you know, I just think you kind of know what you get with there. I mean, I'm probably a very bottom of the roster type guy if he makes it, and have to be a special teams contribution. So I think that Rashard Penny is the unknown, because he's always the unknown because of the injury situation. Right. At his best, he's good enough to be the backup, but how reliable is he? So to me, I would be looking to replace Travis Homer.
Yeah.
And somebody like Hyde would make a lot of sense, particularly in light of your state of philosophy that you feel like you already were and have been for a number of years among the league leaders in terms of your run propensity. And now you say you want to run even more next year. Yeah. I do think they need to look at another guy.
Yeah, I just have this nightmare that both Petty and Carson go down again, and you're stuck with a Travis Homer or a DJ Dallas fighting out for the starting running back spot on an offense that wants to run the ball, right? I mean, that's concerning.
I don't put those guys in the same category.
I'm not saying what you do. I'm saying what Pete Carroll does, okay? I don't know what Pete Carroll thinks of those two guys. All I'm saying is this. If both Carson and Penny are hurt again next year, and Travis Homer and DJ Dallas are your active running backs, then those are your options. That's it, period. End of story.
I just wanted to make the distinction that I think the ceiling for DJ Dallas is significantly higher than the ceiling for Travis Homer.
I agree with that.
That's just what my eyes tell you.
Right.
Tell me. But, I agree. I think that knocking on the door just seeing the availability or just seeing the market. I mean, remember they went and watched Josh Allen throw the football down in Wyoming. That drew a lot of ire from Mark Rogers, Russell Wilson's agent.
I guess what I'm doing more so is just to use the Giovanni Bernard story as a mechanism to get a conversation going about the quality of the
which
Seahawks
you did.
Depth.
And I think it's a good conversation.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I'm telling you.
And do we agree then? We right now, we feel a little bit nervous. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Even if you said, now what if I told you Rashard Penny is going to be healthy?
Based on what? That's a hell of a fairy. Can you give me the Powerball numbers for next week while you're at it? Dude, the guy's been here for 3 years, okay? That's 48 games in the regular season. He's a first round draft pick. He started zero games and has 5 touchdowns in 3 years on the job. What about Rashard Penny in year 4 makes you comfortable and confident he will ever, ever, ever prove to be worthy of a first-round draft pick?
Well, I don't think he is worthy of a first-round draft pick. I don't think that's going to come to pass. But, you know, that first-round draft pick is a sunk cost at this point. The relevant question is, what's the roster? And, of course, the salaries, those always factor. But, again, hypothetically, if somehow you thought – I'm just focusing, Dave, on his health.
Yeah.
And if you felt like, okay, this guy, all of his prior ailments are all cleared up. If he's going to have an injury, it's going to be a new injury. Do you feel like he can be your number two? That's a question worth hemming on.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a starter in this league. Mm-hmm. He hasn't proven that to be. So I agree with you. But if you have Chris Carson and agreed – his injury status has been up and down. But if you have a quote-unquote healthy Rashard Penny, meaning he enters into training camp fully healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that enough? Is that enough to feel like, okay, I'm okay with the number two spot?
Yeah, no, not really. Because going into training camp healthy is not healthy in December. It's not healthy in November. And I saw this before we get to break here with John Wilner, Hugh, coming up next segment, that somebody mentioned this. It may have been Akita. I got no idea. That if you ever have to start a sentence about an athlete with, quote, if he can stay healthy, end quote, then you're already screwed. You're in trouble. We had the same conversation with James Paxton, and the guy lasted 24 pitches, blew his elbow out, and now he's out for the year. If all of us are sitting around saying, if Carson's healthy, if Penny is healthy, then guess what you need? Another option behind those two guys. This team's trying to win a Super Bowl, for God's sakes, with a rushing offense. I want to take a chance with those two guys? You're out of your mind. 412, John Wilner, courtesy of Simply Seattle, is going to join the radio show. Talk some dogs, talk some Pac-12. On Softy and Dick without Dick, Hewin for Dick.
New episodes. It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
How would you like to log on to SimplySeattle.com, buy a bunch of your favorite merchandise, Rainier's gear, Storm gear, Kraken gear, Sonic gear, and get 5% off your entire order? How's 10% off? How's 15%? You know what? How about 20% off your entire order? Well, I'll tell you what. I got 50, as in 50, Softy 20 discount codes at checkout for 20% off your entire order. SOFTY 20, the number 20 at checkout. So use that right now. There's only 50 of them. When they're gone, they're gone. For 20% off, you've been sitting on something, had your eye on something on the website you want to buy. Heck, get all your Christmas shopping done right now in April for December. What the heck? Get some Kraken gear for the fall. Softy 20. I got 50 Softy 20 discount codes available right now at checkout for 20% off your entire order at SimplySeattle.com. Here he is, our friend from the San Jose Mercury News. Nobody does it better when it comes to covering the Pac-12. Our friend John Wilner. John, how are you, man?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Good. We got Hugh Millen with us. That's ex-Washington quarterback Hugh Millen, by the way. You've talked to Hugh before, and I'm looking at West Coast Football, their Twitter account, at West Coast CFB, and they retweeted or put out the ESPN FPI probability of winning the Pac-12 in 2021. Oregon 46%, USC 27%, ASU 15%, and UW is at 4.3%, with Stanford at number 3, rounding out the top 5. I wonder if you agree with that, that that's the order that you would put the favorites of winning the conference in. And would Oregon be that heavy a favorite, in your opinion, for next year?
God, I think that's a, I don't know what's going on with their computer. but I would, that does not make a whole lot of sense to me. I think Washington's got a much better chance than, what, 4.3%? I mean, that's kind of comical, frankly.
Yep.
I don't know how they could have that big a difference between the number one and two teams in a division. You know, that just, it doesn't make sense. But they, you know, we'll see. I think the big thing for the Huskies, you know, they gotta get the offense right. I think we could pretty much count the defense may not be dominant, but defense is going to be solid. The question to me for Washington is going to be on the offensive end.
Well, they may be dominant. They continue to reload and right now they're. They're, for the most part, dominating in practice. From afar, John, when you say the offense, of course, there's the first real year, complete year, with John Donovan taking over from Bush Hamden and a quarterback in Dylan Morris, perhaps, in whatever controversy or competition he may find himself in. But your thoughts about the Husky offense?
Mostly, you know, it gets back to things that I just think have not been – maybe they're not haven't been bad consistently over the last few years, but maybe not operating at maximum efficiency would be the passing game and the red zone, right? And I mean, it just seems like every year you want to see a little bit more from them in that regard. Now, I mean, the fact is that I think Lake has got the right idea with, you know, committing to the run and pro style and using his tight end. Got a great tight end, but at some point you need your receivers to make plays, and they kind of are reloading a receiver.
Yep.
And they, you know, they got to figure out who the quarterback's going to be. But I think that when you've got an offensive line like that and you've got a tight end like that, you know, you certainly have the foundation to be very good. And especially, you know, right, it's all about complementary football and playing the style on offense that's going to help your defense and vice versa. With their defense, you know, they don't necessarily have to put up 40, but they can't put the defense, you know, they can't constantly go three and out, put the defense in tough spots on the field.
Well, let's talk about those receivers for a minute, because I was in the dentist chair this morning, which is my least favorite place in the world to be, by the way. And my dentist is asking me, with his mask on, what's going on with all these wide receivers leaving UW? And so I said to him, I said, look, man, it just kind of feels like, you know, out with the old, in with the new. You know, Chris Peterson's guys are out and Jimmy Lake's guys are in. And outside of Puka leaving, I'm not sure if I'm really concerned about any of those guys walking out of here. How concerned should Washington fans be about all these defections at wide receiver? And then to kind of complement that question, how much did they make up for it by getting Polk from Texas Tech and Giles Jackson from Michigan to come on over?
Forgive me, but as soon as you started telling that story, I started thinking about the Marathon Man when Dustin Hoffman's in the chair.
What is up with all these Madonna?
You know, I don't think that other than Puka leaving, I agree, I don't think it's that big a deal, but it's a little bit of a leap of faith that the guys coming in are going to do the job, right? I mean, it's been, well, Pettis was, what, 2018, yep. 2017? You know, and he was obviously very good, but I mean, it just has not been the same since they had John Ross. And part of that's because they didn't have a guy who could stretch the field like that. So the kid from Michigan could be that, you know, in terms of stretching the defense. But I think some of it's a leap of faith that they're going to have evaluated these guys right, and they're going to teach them properly and get them in position to make plays. Right? They don't have to lead the way. I don't think it's certainly not like an air raid offense where you got the receivers, you know, having 15 targets a game because they got Otten. But if I'm an opposing defense, right, I'm gonna make sure Otten doesn't beat me and dare somebody else to do it.
The Pac-12 has got a couple real marquee games early. Washington at Michigan. I don't know. I haven't gone to school on Michigan just yet. That could be tall hat, few cattle, like it's been for the last few years. But Oregon going to Ohio State, doubtful that they're going to be in that category. What's your thought there in terms of Pac-12 getting back in and having some opportunities to really open some eyes on in those road games?
I think that by the close of business on September 11th, which is week two of the season, we're basically going to know what the rest of the way is going to look like for the Pac-12. When you start with UCLA, LSU, the first week of the season, which it's actually UCLA's second game, but it's the opening week for most teams, UCLA, LSU in the Rose Bowl, and then week two, you got the Huskies in the Big House and the Ducks in the Horseshoe, and you got Colorado playing A&M. I mean, that's it right there. Those four games, if it's good for the Pac-12 in those four games, everything's going to be good going forward. And if it is bad for the Pac-12 in those four games, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be a hard hill to climb the rest of the way because those are such high-profile games. And even if none of those Pac-12 teams end up being, you know, the playoff contender, the playoff contender is going to be impacted by how those teams play.
Well, John Wilner is with us again, courtesy of Simply Seattle from the San Jose Mercury News. We got 50 Softy 20 discount codes at checkout to use for 20% off your entire order at simplyseattle.com. So, John, I'm looking back last year at 247's pro style quarterback rankings, and there were a grand total of 3 5-star pro style quarterbacks in the country. One of them, J.J. McCarthy, is going to Michigan. The other, Kyle McCord's going to Ohio State. And the other one is Sam Heward. He's coming to Washington. What are you hearing as far as buzz on Sam Heward? Would you be surprised if he was starting as a true freshman? Give me a take on kind of what Sam Heward, one of only 3 5-star quarterbacks in America, pro-style quarterbacks going to Washington, means for them.
I mean, it's huge, but I don't know if it's huge necessarily for this year. I just don't know. It seems to me like that's a tough task, right? Wasn't he was playing high school football a month ago.
Yes.
And also playing a different system, you know, much more of an air raid type system. So there's so much, such an adjustment there. But I think that the whole thing is fascinating tactical from a personnel standpoint for Lake and Donovan, just because of what's going on with quarterback management these days, right, and the transfer portal. And any day now, the NCAA is going to basically open the doors and everybody's going to be able to transfer without having to sit out. So if you're Lake, you know.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Part of the calculation is what happens to your quarterback room based on who you pick to start that opener. And I kind of think that Morris has got them. He's got a lot of leverage. Because if they pick Heward, Morris is gone the next day, I would think. Maybe even that night. And then all of a sudden, they're left with two guys who have never played before. So, in some ways, you know, if you pick Morris to start, you know you're not going to lose Heward. But if you pick Heward, unless it is absolutely crystal clear he's better, if you pick Heward, you're risking losing Morris right away.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It certainly passes the sniff test the way you lay it out like that. I also think that it's interesting to think just of the timeline. Like right now, Dylan Morris is his third year of the system in some ways, and he's taking the number one reps as you would expect. And there's a gap clearly between him and an incoming high school freshman. Then if Morris is the starter, as most expect him to be and as you expect him to be, and he gets the experience, then Heward's going to have to make up the gap, not just in any long-term potential or talent or what have you, if there's an advantage there at all. But now he's going to have to overcome a Morris who's getting week by week more and more experience.
Yeah.
And he's got 4 years of eligibility left.
Yeah, it is a tough, it's going to be a very interesting situation no matter how it plays out. I totally agree with you. And the other calculation for me, at least, is, you know, it's not like, well, this is a rebuilding year and we can, you know, maybe we can calculate that we're aiming for 2022. I mean, this is a huge year. They got an entire offensive line back. It's a win now situation for me if I'm looking at Washington. And so that's got to be part of the calculation. And it's hard to believe that when now you're going to pick the true freshman over a guy who's been in the system and who led, what were they down to Utah, 21-0 or something? He led a 21-point rally last year.
Yep.
That's a big gap. And if you want to win now, which they need to win now, then that it makes it all the more, in my opinion, favorable for Morris.
John Wilner with us again, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. Let me switch over to basketball real quick. So Arizona fired Sean Miller, what, a week ago or so? I've heard the name Tommy Lloyd, assistant at Gonzaga, one of Few's longtime assistant coaches. We've heard the name Damon Stoudemire, but we've been hearing those names for over a week, and Arizona still does not have a head coach to replace Sean Miller. What's going on down there, and who do you think gets that job?
You know the music that you play for the what you talking about Wilner segment?
Yes, that Benny Hill.
That, yes, that is perfectly fitting for this Arizona search because it's a circus. Mm. They have known for 3.5 years that they were going to have to part ways with Sean Miller. They have known before the season ended. They should have done this in early March. Instead, they spend a month twiddling their thumbs, and then they don't have a plan once they do move on from Miller. I don't know what they're going to do. There's a lot of push for them to hire someone from the Arizona family.
Yeah.
Could be Stoudemire. But there's also, the president likes Tommy Lloyd. I don't know that, if you're in Arizona, do you hire a career assistant from another school? To me, that seems like you're settling. I mean, Arizona is a top 15 program. So it's really interesting, but it is textbook how not to handle a coaching change.
Wait a minute. I think I'm hearing something coming from Tucson.
There we go.
There it is. Do you think that Tommy Lloyd would take that job? I mean, maybe we're just kind of spitballing here, but, look, he's been at Mark Few's side forever, and Mark Few's not going anywhere. The guy's like, what, 57, 58 years old? But in due time, he would be a natural coach in waiting at Gonzaga. Do you think Tommy Lloyd would take that job at Arizona? And number two, some Gonzaga fans are trying to convince me that would be a step down, that an assistant coach at a West Coast conference school going to Arizona would be a step down. You buy that?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, I think that's real deep in the myopia for the Gonzaga fans.
Yes.
No, I think he would take it for sure. I mean, you take the job, and it's a premier job, and if things go well, and Few walks away in, I don't know, what, 8 years, 10 years?
Right.
You go back and take over at Gonzaga. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, I don't know Lloyd, but it's not like Few, like you said, it's not like Few, you know, a year or two away from stepping down. And I think that changes, you know, Lloyd's thinking.
You know, the president there is a doctor, a former cardiologist, Robert Robbins. I actually had a Zoom with him for an hour when my son was getting recruited there. And so kind of acquainted myself with the Arizona Athletic Department. Mike Lute is down there, the former Washington AD. And so, you know, you kind of pick up some information through various sources. But the scuttlebutt down there when Jed Fish was hired as the football coach is the AD had other ideas, but it was the president, Robbins, that kind of overruled it and had a prior relationship with Jed Fish. And so Robbins made his presence felt in that hiring. Do you see that happening possibly here? You got Dave Hickey as the AD, but is it possible that Robbins intercedes and he goes with his own guy?
Oh, I think that is the likely outcome. Robbins is a more heavily involved in athletic department personnel decisions than any president I have come across. I mean, he thinks he's the AD, and he thinks he knows more than the AD. And he was absolutely the one who hired Jed Fish. He hired Kevin Sumlin. He hired Jed Fish, and he will make this basketball hire. There is no doubt about that in my mind.
And who
mind.
Does he favor? And, I think you said it a moment ago.
Well, I think word on the street was that he's had his eye on Tommy Lloyd. So, but the thing is that there's a lot of pushback within the community and within the Arizona, athletic constituents to hire someone from, you know, the Arizona family, whether that's Stoudemire or, you know, Miles right. Simon, who's a Lakers assistant, yeah. You know, Luke Walton's not interested. Obviously Kerr's not interested, but you know, they've got some options in that regard. But this is absolutely the president is driving this bus. There is zero doubt about that.
Yeah. John, I wonder if Jason Terry too, and a guy that might someday add to that list too, as well. There's a lot of alums at that
yep.
school that I think would be fantastic for a sideline, but let me ask you this. Speaking of, what is going on with the Pac-12 commissioner search? John Canzano was on earlier today and said he thinks the new commissioner will be strictly a football person, which seemingly would rule out, you know, people like Randy Freer and Burke Magnus, who are sports television executives. Do you agree with John that we're talking about a AD at a football factory somewhere, somebody with a real football background? What's your take on how you handicap the Pac-12 commissioner job?
Oh, boy. If I had to bet, I think that they will probably end up in that spot. But I think it's going to take a while to get there. My understanding is that there is not a whole lot of consensus at the top in terms of what they want. And that is part of the reason why they haven't really narrowed it down to just a couple of finalists yet. Until the presidents all get on the same page, it's going to be hard for them to make the best hire possible. They've already some great candidates are already out. They've already backed out. You know, you're talking about ADs at football powerhouses with ties to the Pac-12, those guys are, a lot of them are out. So the word I heard is that people are realizing, and I want it's not, maybe it's not such a great job. The presidents aren't aligned. Yeah. There's a lot of problems, and the problems aren't necessarily going to be solved immediately. So if you're coming in, it's going to be hard to find early wins, right? Like a new coach, you want to have Idaho State first game, right? Get a win. Well, there's no Idaho State's on the docket for Pac-12 commissioner. This is going to be a long haul.
I love it. John, great stuff, man. Appreciate this, and we'll talk in a week, pal. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You got
Thanks,
it, man. John Wilner, always good to have him on, courtesy of Simply Seattle. Again, we got 50 of those Softy 20 checkout codes at discount for – or checkout – excuse me, in 321, Softy 20 codes at checkout for a discount at simplyseattle.com. Only 50 of them available for 20% off your entire order. Once they're gone, they're gone. We got a lot more to get to on a busy Tuesday, including Brian Schmetzer is going to join us coming up at 5:45 and talk about the Sounders as they get set to go on Friday for their opener for 2021.
I feel a lot better than Bob.
That's all coming up. Testimonials, though, we're next. Does Julian Edelman really belong in the Hall of Fame? Really? Next on Softy.
He's good.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
All right, Brian Schmetzer.
Clicked on and clicked in!
Well, join us at 5:45 tonight ahead of the Sounders opener on Friday. 6:20 pregame, is that correct? With a 6:50 kickoff for some reason. Not 7 o'clock, 6:50 right here on 950 KJR. Lots of stuff to get to on the text line. And Huey, they tell me, whoever they are, that this will be a doozy, whatever the hell that is, on the Coors Seltzer text line. Brought to you by our friends at hammerandnail.build. Now my contractor is your contractor at hammerandnail.build. 49451. Jackson, what do you got?
Shout out to Slick Watts and the Watts family.
Oh, yeah.
We are thinking of you.
That's a good call. So I have I've sent a message to Donald to check in. Not sure if you've heard about this or not, Huey, but Slick Watts apparently late last week had a pretty serious stroke and is recovering as we speak right now. Long road to recovery. Don was on Twitter last night asking for thoughts and prayers. So I know you're a big Sonic guy growing up as a kid back in the day. You slept out, you camped out for Sonic tickets when you were a kid, playoff tickets back in the day. And I know Slick wasn't here for the championship year in 79, but he was on that team the year before that lost to Washington. So shout out and prayers up for Slick Watts, man. He is one of a kind.
Yeah. At Eckstein Middle School, we had a little program where they gave discount tickets to the students, and we'd get some buddies and take the Metro bus down to the Coliseum, watch those mid-70s Sonics. And, you know, Slick Watts in 1975 led the NBA in steals and assists.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable, right? I mean, just a colorful guy, great player, and, you know, just kind of a personality living at those times. The NBA, those were hard times for the NBA.
For sure.
You know, guys like Willby Free leading the NBA and scoring. That was just there was a real drought, but not in Seattle, not with Slick Watts, not that personality.
Yeah, he's the man. So best of luck to Slick for sure, and let Don and his family know that we are thinking about him for sure. What's next?
Mount Rushmore of injured Seattle players. Oh. Paxton, The Buzz, oh. Eric Bedard, oh. Malik McDowell, oh. An honorable mention, CJ Prosize.
I don't know. Does Malik McDowell belong on that list? Don't you have to have played at least one game to be considered injury
prone? No, I think he's eligible for the list. I really do. It didn't strike me as inappropriate that he'd be on that list.
Oh.
I think it only puts him on the Rushmore that he didn't even play a game because of an injury.
That is a hell of a list. Eric Bedard, James Paxton, Malik McDowell, and the Boz with CJ Prosize. Honorable mention. I mean, CJ Prosize looks at all those guys and he says, damn, those guys are injury prone.
Right.
Well, I feel bad for Big James, but, you know, we had Boone on with us a week ago, Brett Boone, because his brother is managing the Yankees now, Huey, as you know, Aaron. Yeah. And they let Paxton walk, and he had a decent year in 2020 and basically alluded in no uncertain terms that they let him walk because he's injury prone. And now you know why they let him walk. The guy throws 24 pitches and his season's over. What's next?
Seahawks also had no COVID cases last year. They can lead by example for the other NFL teams located in states still really struggling with COVID. Hopefully those teams follow suit.
As responding to Tyler Lockett's comments, and the NFLPA tweeted on behalf of the Seahawks players that they are not going to be coming to town for voluntary workouts next week because they're concerned about COVID cases.
Yeah, well, I guess that's another side to it. But the prevailing thought for me is that, you know, you take risks. And look, we have Tyler Lockett. He says he's scared to go out of his house. So, you know, I don't know how much we can really engage in a dialogue, a meaningful dialogue, when you start from that point.
Yeah.
Well, look, he's a sweet guy. He's a great Seahawk. You know, who's going to say a bad word about Tyler? I'm not.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, on the topic of whether or not the Seahawks should just pull the parachute on their mini camp, no, I think that's premature. I don't think that. I think there's risk involved. I think there's other professions that are taking risks. I think we're getting more of a handle on this thing.
Yeah.
And I think that they should be doing everything they can to try and make this a go, not just tap out before, you know, you even step in the octagon with this damn thing.
Well, I think you know, look, man, you want to be respectful of everybody's position on this thing, especially for something that none of us have ever dealt with in our entire lives and hopefully will never deal with ever again. But I also think that there's reasonable and there's unreasonable. And I think not wanting to ever leave your house and saying that you're that scared, driving down the road with nobody else in your car and you're wearing a mask, a visor, and gloves at the same time and you're by yourself, I think that's unreasonable, in my opinion. So, whatever. I mean, if that's the life you want to live, then that's your prerogative. What's next?
No Hall of Fame for Julian Edelman. He's just a New England bum.
Wow. I totally agree with that guy. He's a bum. Brady carried him the entire way. If Julian Edelman played in any other system, you know what he would be? He'd be Julian the Bum. That's what he'd be. And you know it, and I know it. How much does the Brady story change if he never plays a snap with Julian Edelman, in your opinion, honestly?
I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly open to the idea that he wouldn't have had anywhere near the career, because you look at Wes Welker before and after. Yeah, he did some things with the Broncos. Hadn't done much with Miami. I absolutely think that the system helps those type of guys. Those little moxie guys that work the middle of the field, you know, that they're a team that wants to work the middle of the field. They had Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski, you know, at a time. And when they lost Hernandez, you know, they made sure they always had a really quality slot receiver who had great football instincts, knew how to go and work on linebackers in the middle of the field in zone coverage, where he used his quickness advantage. But he's among the best. And ultimately, as I said before, I agree. Probably falls short of the Hall of Fame, but just to dismiss it and to say that he doesn't have a credible candidacy, I disagree. I think he has a credible candidacy for the Hall of Fame.
You know why he doesn't have a great shot at the Hall of Fame? You know why? Because he's a bum. That's why. Mm. All right? What's next? Last one.
Shut up, softy. Hear him out on Julian Edelman.
Oh, God. I just... People always defend you when you're on this show.
No,
they always jump off my side.
You.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
I think it's a good debate. Look, I think that if I sat and listened to two really smart guys, which you and I aren't, and they had this debate, I would say, you know what? Those are two guys making good points.
Yeah,
And I think that there's a case. Look, there's for Edelman to be number two in the NFL in terms of all-time playoff catches, all-time playoff yards receiving.
Okay.
Number two,
behind
only Jerry Rice.
All right.
I think that gets you in the door.
Let me ask you this.
That is your ante at the table.
Let me ask you this then. How piss poor do his regular season numbers have to be to where you get to a point where you say his postseason was awesome, but I can't do it because of his regular season numbers? How awful do those numbers have to be? What if he had 10 touchdowns lifetime? In 11 years, what if he caught 50 passes?
How awful does Calvin Johnson's playoff numbers have to be before he's not a candidate?
Calvin Johnson and the Lions not making the playoffs had nothing to do with Calvin Johnson. You know that. Why do you bring that up?
By the same token, because I'm saying that there's more than one vehicle to the Hall of Fame. Okay, there's some guys that are just career accomplishment guys. Look at what they did. They were pretty damn steady for 18 years, and then they just amassed all these numbers. There's other guys like Terrell Davis. They played 7 years, but they were really dominant for a few years. There's more than Joe Namath was as much his impact on the game in terms of the persona and everything as it was his contributions on the field. He had the Super Bowl III, and he had him carrying the AFL, and he's a Hall of Famer, and he's a deserving Hall of Famer, even though he has way more interceptions than touchdowns. There's not just one path to the Hall of Fame, and there's not one set of criteria. Admittedly, Julian Edelman's regular season numbers, and by the way, on a 12-win team that doesn't throw as much as losing teams, if it was just the regular season, we wouldn't have been having this discussion. But we're talking about one of the clutch players, the central figures of a dynasty, and he deserves a seat at the table. Now, if they take his chair away, I'm good with that. But for you to just say he's not even doesn't even deserve a seat at the table, I don't agree with that. I think he deserves a mention, and I think he has a very credible candidacy. And ultimately, I think he will not make it. Ultimately, I would not vote for him. But it takes a lot of consideration. That is not just a flush it out, slam the door, you know, end of discussion topic. Not for me.
He belongs at the very good table, not the Hall of Fame table.
Ultimately, I agree with that.
He never made a Pro Bowl. I probably agree with that. He never made a Pro Bowl. He never made an All-Pro team. He never led the league in anything. He's 156th in yards, 261st in touchdowns, and 75th all-time in catches. He's not a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and he never should
be. They make the Pro Bowl off the regular season, Dave. They all the players decide on that at week 13. They decided at the first week of December. So, yes, the fact that he doesn't make a Pro Bowl, that's taking in regular season. I already stipulated to you. Yeah. No fool would argue that he has a candidacy based on his regular season. He doesn't. Okay, there's all no right. dispute there.
Here's what you did.
The question is, how much does a postseason clutch player in all those Lombardis and being the guy on a team that had three Super Bowl wins on game-winning drives, meaning the game is in the balance, for him, there's an argument to be made.
Here's the deal. Here's what you've just done, okay? When you argue people's Hall of Fames or Hall of Fame candidacy from now on, you are never allowed to use a Pro Bowl ever as a part of your argument, ever.
Is that really your takeaway?
That's
really
one of my takeaways. We have to break. We have commercials to play.
Multiple paths.
I'm just telling you right now that when you ever have this conversation about a player and their Hall of Fame candidacy, you are never allowed to mention Pro Bowls ever again.
What if
ever
a guy hits the all-time most home ever. Runs, most doubles, highest batting average, highest slugging percentage in the history of playoff baseball and World Series baseball? But he never makes the All-Star team. Does that mean he's not a candidate?
That's not a Hall of Famer. No, that's not a Hall of Fame player. We got a break. We can discuss this more next.
These playoffs don't matter to you. I don't want to hear you talk about playoffs.
They do matter to me, but we're talking about the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Fame of really damn good. More with Hugh Miller.
There's more than one path to get there.
Okay. We have a break. Can I go to a break, or do you want to keep yakking?
You get the last word. Go ahead.
I don't want the last word. No, go ahead. Have at it.
Go ahead.
No. I'm not breaking. I'm not breaking until you get the last word. I've been telling you to take a timeout for a freaking hour. Jesus. Yes. You know what? I'm going to kill this.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.